AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
AJ, Bridge and Spider on the podcast. A very interesting person of interest today, as we do on a Wednesday. Elliot Chenery, a 20-year-old, he was 20 at the time. He went to the French Foreign Legion, knocked on the door, and they let him in, and he stayed for over a year.
And Gold FM's Second Chance Dance, Love is still in the air. Russ was trying to find his Cinderella, and she called today. I know this is going to be the first wedding out of Second Chance Dance. So exciting.
And I've started a new business, Aussie Pickers. I reckon it's a great one. They have the Canadian Pickers and American Pickers. Aussie Pickers, what do you get for free? And we asked the Gold FM family, and they get some cracking stuff for free.
Here we go. It's AJ, Bridge and Spider's Name That Year.
The Name That Year competition, it's Bridget Daly v. Peter Spider Everett. Three pieces of history today. You have the categories of sport, and namely golf.
All right, let's shake gloves.
Yep.
I might put my middle name in. Is that right? Because then it's Bridget Mary Daly v. Peter Spider Everett.
No, I'm going to go Spider Ray. That's my middle name.
Okay, Spider Ray.
We're going to the disco era in the late 70s to play a track from the disco era in music, and then we're going to the movies. What would you prefer first up? What category would you prefer? Golf, sport, music, or movies?
Let's just go nuts with it. Wake us up with the song.
Yeah, okay. The song.
Yeah.
That comes under green in Trivia Pursuit.
You have to tell me the year that this song was released and your name is your buzzer. Remember that little number, Peter?
That was a beauty.
Rasputin. Who was Rasputin, Peter?
Rasputin.
I have no idea. It sounds like a gas you put in the side of a barbecue.
It's butane. Oh,
Rasputin was a Russian demon. He was quite an interesting individual back through history.
Butane. Of course you'd go there. Rasputin.
I have absolutely no idea.
This was the disco era. This was back in the stages of YMCA from Village People. Donna Summer, darling.
Yes, I'm going my year of birth with this because this is amazing. And Donna Summer, I feel love. Come on. Just get better than that. 1976.
Say your name, please.
Bridget Mary Daly, 1976.
No.
Spider Ray, I'm going to go a little bit 80s. I reckon it was 82.
I did say it was a period when
Disco
was out, which I did mention was the 70s. So you weren't listening.
To be honest, I'm not a disco person.
You're wrong. It was 1978, so Bridget was... who was closest?
We're right in the middle.
Ooh.
I must say, you should bring out a brand, camping brand, just called, you know, Rasputane.
Rasputane.
Ras gas.
He'll keep you going all night. He'll strike the fire when it's hot.
We're even. Okay, I'll give you a point each. Okay, we're going to go to the golf.
Scott, from 15 feet for birdie and the victory.
There it is! Adam Scott.
Yep.
A life changer.
A life changer, the Masters Open win from Adam Scott.
Yeah.
Name that year.
How long ago was it? It wasn't that long. It wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't.
I'm not 100% sure. Was he using the broomstick handle then?
I think so,
yeah.
Was he?
He's back using it.
Yeah, but it's not allowed to touch any, it's not allowed to be anchored to any part of the body or something.
Really?
Look, Rob McLeod would be kicking himself if he's not here.
I know.
But look, Spider Ray, I'm going to say 2008.
No.
I'm just going to go with what's coming in my head. I think it's a little bit later than that. Bridgie Mary, 2013.
Correct.
Oh!
Hey!
What was that?
2-1.
Right.
2-1 to Bridge. You can even things up, or Bridge, you can win here with a movie for us right now. Name that year.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Snakes.
Asps. Very dangerous. You go first.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, snakes on a plane.
So did I. I thought it was that snakes. I thought it was that snake movie too.
Okay. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Look, do you want me to have a guess first, Peter
Ray?
You
can go whatever. I've got one.
Peter Ray Cyrus.
Spider Ray.
I'm going to go Bridgie Mary, if it was Raiders of the Lost Ark, it was one of the first ones. Bridge, yep. 1984.
No.
Slightly later. No, seriously, only a couple of years. And I had it. I reckon it was 87.
No, Bridgie wins by default 2-1. It was 1981.
Oh, that early.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Cool. Were you happy with the selection today, Peter? Normally, sometimes you're not that pleased with the categories and selection are there.
Here we go.
But you okay with that?
I have no control over it, so I've got to do what we've got to do. And, it was okay. But I'm getting sick and tired of just a sport, music, and what else?
We need to razz it up. A bit of history,
It's nice when there's a little bit of history. Like, when was the first newspaper invented, or what did the television come out
like? Or something a big speech, like a Winston Churchill speech.
Yeah,
or you know.
I'll put that to the name that year committee.
All right, good.
Please just mix it up a bit.
Yep.
Thank you. We were just discussing this morning at the breakfast table the things that you get for free. I remember my gorgeous Annie the X bridge. You know, when people put things out on the nature
curbside,
strip. Curbside, whatever it's called. She ended up with a couch and chair that she had for over 15 years. A beautiful. Old style. You would have loved it. It was very bohemian looking.
Oh, lovely.
As you can imagine. And
get those dry clean, those. Look, anything curbs, so I get it dry clean.
Yeah, we did. We stuck it up on the trailer and,
You can. You can. And, you know, what do they say? Someone else's trash is someone else's treasure.
Yep.
Well, at the moment, I don't know how it's worked out, but I reckon I need to start a new TV show, Aussie Pickers. Because you know how they got American pickers, Canadian pickers?
Yep.
The picker sisters. So what they do is they go around to these places and pick bits and pieces. And
so then, good.
Yeah, it is. And I got a guy at the moment who he's from D-Mex or something. Anyway, he demolishes houses and excavates them. So if they're about to be excavated and demolished, he rings up and says, "Oh, do you need anything? Do you want the doors or?" And it is so exciting. It is magnificent. I went around there yesterday with Granddad to a house that. This guy, Dave, was about to demolish, and he said, if you need some internal doors, if your ones are no good or external ones, come and get them. I was there yesterday. I was like a pig in poo. It was just absolutely fantastic. I got the doors. I got a couple of nice, like, I think they're magnolia trees for outside
trees.
And a couple of gates because they're about to demolish it.
Of course, you can't let that go to waste.
So, Aussie Pickers. I got the best phone call, the best text message last night. He goes, "Spider, the truck's not going in tomorrow. You've got another 24 hours.
It's the biggest, like the best treasure hunt you could possibly have, right?
It's brilliant because you walk around and go, you know what, I can use this in my house somewhere. I can do this with my house. And if you're saving money, because it's only going to go on the tip anyway.
Exactly. I've scored the fruits of your picking big time.
Yeah, well, you're a little offshoot of Aussie Pickers.
I am. I'm the Aussie receiver.
So we don't say that too loud, but
what?
But we want.
It's awesome. Yeah. I receive your fruits.
Yes, good fruits too.
Give us a call at 1327 10. We want to know the best thing that you have scored for free. I've got a beauty too. I've got a great story for you. Well,
even these gates yesterday, they were that heavy, they're that good, and they're that exciting. I've got to change the whole walkway into my house to fit these gates, but it was well worth it.
We've got Doubles to Busby Maru presents happening at the Sound Lounge Gold Coast, their regional tour for Busby, their Busby Boys. They're back again. Sunday, May 27, get your tickets now from busbymaru.com. Got a couple of tickets to Busby Maru. They're back in town on the 27th of May, Sunday at the Sound Lounge for their regional tour with Gold 92.5.
Yeah, I'm demolishing a house at the moment while helping people. I call myself the Aussie Pickers. Anything for free. So we want to know what you've got for free, if it's from a friend, from the side of the road, or even from the tip as you're growing up.
Just that best treasure.
Yeah.
You've ever scored for free. Give us a call.
1327 10 for the Busby Maru ticks.
We're just asking at the moment, what have you got for free? I'm at the moment I'm calling myself the Aussie Pickers. Mm. There's a house being demolished around the corner from me, and the guy there, D-Mex, he said, you come around and get whatever you want, the internal, external doors, because it's only going to go in the landfill anyway. So I've absolutely loved the last couple of days. Got a couple of internal doors and external doors, just good for the house.
And so have I. I've scored a few, the Sanctuary Cove Chesterfield recliner. I've never dribbled so much in my life. But a friend of mine has a storage facility, so when people don't pay for their storage and it stays there, and they sell it off.
Yep.
So when all my...
Storage wars.
Yes. So remember when my furniture, when I was out in the bush at Tally Valley, got all mould on it, she said, come on down. just open up the doors. I've got I got all this cane furniture, outdoor furniture. It was unreal.
Yeah, so we're asking 13, 20, 7, 10, what is the best thing you've got for free?
Sarah Surfers.
Yes, hi. I furnish about 90 to 95% of my house. We go on trips every Monday across Queensland and New South Wales on curbside.
Oh, really?
That is unreal.
Has anybody ever pulled you up and told you off, or they're happy for you to take it?
No, they love it. We've so on the weekend in New South Wales, there was a closing down office factory, and they had about 150 brand new cabinets and desks and fridges, and we got an Airtasker for $100, and he brought three utes, and we got a whole bunch of stuff and sold it off for about $10 a cabinet as well.
Wow. Oh, you're going to be a part of the Aussie Pickers. We need to make a show out of this.
Yes, done. Good for you.
Yeah, well done, Sarah.
It's
that's
so free. Satisfying, oh, isn't it, when it's free? Although you're
mad. The best thing we found is a brand new marble table that was about, I think the price tag on it said $1,600. And they put it on the side of the road because one of the stool, like one of the feet, had slightly been damaged with the paint.
Oh,
because of that. That is amazing.
Oh, I love
Wow-ee.
It. Thanks, Sarah.
Well done, Sarah. Hey, who we got here? Chris, what have you found?
Years ago, my dad brought home this bicycle. I think, if I remember correctly, it was a tandem bike.
Ooh.
And he'd get it all up and cleaned it all up for us kids. But then he couldn't afford the tubes and the tyres. So what he did, he got the hose, like the Yagar hose, and he cut it up and put that inside the tyres, and we rode it around the street. And it was so hard on our backsides, but we had so much fun with it, and all the neighbourhood kids wanted to ride it.
That's so cool.
It's amazing, those things for free that can give you so many hours of entertainment.
Yep.
Thanks for that, Chris.
Hey, listen, Sarah, congratulations. You're off to Gold FM's presentation of Busby Maru back on their regional tour at the Sound Lounge, Gold Coast, Sunday, May 27. Get your tickets now from busbymaru.com. We've got this big fella sport on the way.
He hasn't touched the ground.
Yeah, you look at all the sports nuts around the world. I think this is one of the great players. Cam Smith announced yesterday he's going to be retiring from representative football. That's for playing Test for Australia and also for Origin.
Congratulations to Cameron Smith. Another milestone in one of the greatest, if not the greatest, career we've seen.
Aww. Yeah. Amazing record, and we know that JT stepped down, Cooper Cronk stepped away from it as well. It's that changing of the guard, but 42 Origin, 56 tests. But I think, you know, when you play a professional sport like that, I think you kind of take your hat off to Cam Smith, because people can understand how much it actually impacts your life. Like, you are 24/7 football, and
that's right.
It is so difficult. And with rugby league, you know, you're playing 26 odd games. You've played in a lot of final series, and amongst that, you've got your Origin, and then you actually travel for you know, your Test for Australia. People always say you always put family first. Family is your number one thing in life. When you play football at that level, it isn't. Football has to be number one.
Yeah.
Football's got to be number one, or it won't work. And, you know, you got to think of Cam Smith, who's got three kids now, two daughters and a son. And I did it when, you know, we were playing. Footy's always got to be number one. You miss out on all the little things, like, you know, your daughter wants to have a birthday party on a Saturday. He travels every second weekend.
Yeah,
he's away
right.
for 3 days. So he misses 90% of his kids' birthdays. You know, when you think about school holidays, he's got to go to training every day. You think about first day of school, or you're going to watch your kids play in their guitar concert. You can't do it, because you can't. It's not like a normal business where you can just ring the boss and say, look, I've got, you know, my kid's playing thingo. Let's put our meeting back from 10
right.
o'clock to 11 o'clock.
I won't be in.
You don't do it. If you've got a meeting at 10 o'clock, or you've got training at 2 o'clock, you are there, prepared, ready to go. And there's no ifs, there's no buts, there's no absolutely nothing else you do. So your life is consumed around the football club. So to Cam Smith, because as you know, like, as people with kids, before you know it, your kids are, you know, they've got boyfriends, they've got girlfriends, they've got sport. They're not home anymore. So great to see Cam Smith wants to put his family first and spend a bit of time with his kids.
Peter, you were a 300-plus gamer with the AFL. Was it the body that eventually says, we've got to give this away? Is that what does it?
Yeah, there was. There's that. Your mind knows that it's time, and just the representative, just the not only the mind, but as he said, like it's family. Like you get to a stage where you go, you know what, my kids want a little bit of time with their dad before it's too old. You know,
yeah, cool.
I think they're all under seven. He's still going to be playing for Melbourne for a couple more years, but just that extra 2 months at home and the extra weekends to be able to go home and see his kids grow up, I think is a fantastic opportunity and something that you should be able to do. But your mind knows when it's time to step away.
20-7 with AJ Bridges Spider. Don't forget you're listening out for the Love Boat theme for your chance to be with Horizon Motor Yachts at Sanctuary Cove Luxury Sunset Cruise. That $15,000 prize could be yours. You'll go on the draw. You're listening out for the Love Boat theme soon. Listening on the car on the way to the radio station this morning, the news came on that the athletes that decided to skip the Commonwealth Games a month ago or thereabouts, and their visas expired midnight last night. And here we go again. Mamby, pamby land, where we live. Australia, the Australian government, well, they're considering, at the moment, I believe, they're seeking refugee status, Bridgie.
Some of them have come forward, and the Refugee Advice and Casework Service are saying, well, a number of athletes that were missing have contacted them. They want protection visas. There's 19 athletes that have literally done the runner. But this happens at every Olympics.
Yeah, it does.
And every Commonwealth Games. So they're somewhere in the country at the moment. At last night at midnight, that's when their visas ran out. So it'll be interesting to see if today they show themselves, if they're scared about what the Australian government will do, or if they'll just keep on running.
Well, they haven't shown up over the last month. I don't think they're going to show up now, but I think there could be a big conspiracy theory behind all of this.
Yeah, definitely. This is what I reckon for sure.
Yep.
That the Australian government know exactly where they are.
100%.
They've got them in a little area like a, what do you call it, the CrossFit box.
Yeah, the box.
And they've got little bedrooms off the box. Yep. And they're like, we will feed you, we will train you, we will get the visas happening, we will just train you in CrossFit and anything you want to do. And all of a sudden, up they will pop for the Olympics.
Yep, they'll be
wearing the Australian uniform.
A Johnny Howard tracksuit they'll be wearing.
Yep.
Because you think, Rwanda, that was the coach that went missing. So they've got a coach.
Yep.
Uganda, a couple of athletes. We struggle with athletics in the Olympics.
Yes.
And Cameroon, they're all wrestling and boxing. When was the last time we won medals in wrestling and boxing?
Yeah, so exactly.
I reckon, they will come out.
They will.
Like very similar, Meow Meow, one of our great table tennis players. We've done the same. So I reckon this is where it's heading.
But it's win-win.
Yep.
It's win-win for everyone. They want to stay in Australia. They get to stay.
Yep.
Stay and play and train.
They represent Australia at the next Olympics.
Actually, that's the conspiracy theory.
The spider and bridge plan. You've got it sorted. We think we might have some good news for Russ. Russ called us yesterday. He was at the Second Chance Dance at the Envy Hotel and he lost his bow.
Yes.
We might have some good news. There's love in the air, Bridgie.
Cupid's in the air, isn't it?
7:10 it is.
Huh? Everywhere.
I know, and lucky for you, Peter, revealing my little relationship yesterday, my new one.
Yeah, what's going on there? Oh, what's happening?
Don't screw your face up when you're asking that.
Why, I'm asking.
Well,
what's
you
happening?
You screwed your face up.
I'm asking, what's happening?
Oh, well, it's beautiful. It's unreal. We met at Blues Fest, and we met old school.
Yeah.
Just like everyone did it. Gold FM's Second Chance Dance. And sometimes, do you know what? The universe aligns and God or whoever you believe in just shines a light down and goes, you two need to hang out and be together.
This is it.
Tens of thousands of people at Blues Fest and we just came together and met. And it was a beautiful thing.
Oh, love is beautiful.
Love is beautiful. And I'm having an awesome time with my new beau. And in fact, things
are... Are you calling him a new beau or has he got a name?
He's my partner. His name's Jamie.
Okay.
So anyway, we've been hanging out and he's gone, you know what, I think I really want you to meet my parents.
Oh.
I'm like, wow.
That's neck level.
That is neck level. That is commitment, isn't it? Isn't that lovely? Look at you two all. You're all uncomfortable with me even saying
it. No. It's next level. I know. It is next level when you start meeting the parents.
What was that movie?
Meet the parents.
Meet the parents.
Yeah.
And it was nothing like that. It was amazing. So Jamie's parents are really lovely, beautiful people who are still in love, so in love 40 years later.
You're on the radio. You got to say that because I always say that about Dale and Kel.
No, I mean it.
Morning, Dale. Good morning,
Kel. Because you know they're listening. No, but it's the truth. They were really just a beautiful couple and apparently I get the two thumbs up. which I was on my best behaviour, but yes. But you know what? I love that when you see a couple that are just so loved up and a really beautiful family dynamic. But in fact, we get on so well, Jamie and I, that we're a bit worried that what if it comes out we're related because we're quite similar. And, you know, I was waiting for his mum to go, actually, your mum's my sister. And we're all related.
I had my daughter ring me one night.
No, seriously, I had Caitlin ring me one night. Dad, I'm at someone's house and there's a photo of you in the mum's bedroom. Dad.
No.
Oh, Peter.
Well, it is a worry
Caitlin was horrified. Caitlin was like, oh, no, Cherie, tell me I'm not, please.
That's the thing. Honestly, we did have this very funny conversation. He's so funny, and we have a really good banter together. And so that's, you know, I was waiting for his mother to go, actually, your mum and I are sisters.
Yes.
You guys are cousins or something. But we do want to know because, thank gosh, everything was fine, apart from I kept on stuffing the waiter's name up and his dad corrected me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, that's cool, all right. But we do want to know because it could have gone either way. So we want to know those stories of when you first met the in-laws. Did you get the two thumbs up or, as we're about to hear from Peter next?
I got the two thumbs
you
down.
You got the massive thumbs down. You had to peg your way back.
Why are you going to marry someone like your brother?
Yeah.
That's what I got.
It can be a tough gig, the first in-law meeting.
Well, if you really, really are into someone like I am, it is absolutely make or break.
Yeah.
It can really be make or break.
Meeting the in-law stories. Give us a bell.
Oh, we want to know those stories when you first met your in-laws, the good, the bad and the ugly.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, there's a fine line. You don't want to try too hard and sell yourself, but you don't want to sit back too much either.
And some things don't go as planned.
Which we know with a million stories from all of your ex-in-laws. But Michelle and Ashmore, how did it go when you met the in-laws?
Yeah, so I was dating the guy for 5 years and then we eventually got married, didn't meet his family, didn't tell anyone. So basically literally went from the registry office after getting married and said, okay, you're going to go meet my parents now. And I was like so scared because he hadn't mentioned me at all. So we'd actually already been married. Walked in the house and thinking, oh my goodness, and they were so sweet and lovely and it was great, but it was very scary.
That is really scary when you haven't been mentioned.
Oh, that's humble.
There's absolute nerves about it too.
Yeah.
If you really are into someone, you just have to make a good impression. Oh, thank goodness. Well done, Michelle.
You can never make a second first impression
either. Exactly. Right, Peter, we're going to hear your story next about your first impression. How did you even peg back? Honestly, how did you do it?
Took me a few years.
I bet it did.
And I'm back.
Look, I deserve a round of applause. I got the tick of approval. It was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
Honestly, I had the 5 P's of preparation.
It's all you need.
Went to George's Paragon at Coolangatta. I had to meet the parents of this amazing individual I'm dating. And honestly, the pressure is on when you meet the parents.
Yeah.
And it can go either way because they could be judgmental.
Ooh, yeah.
Maybe no partner has ever passed the test, no matter who they are.
Well, you're coming off the back of they might have liked the ex.
They might have liked the ex, exactly right. You just don't know. So we want to know the stories of when you first met the in-laws, the good, the bad, the ugly, and Peter. Honestly, how did you peg back?
I had to go to New Zealand to meet Cherie's mum and dad for the very first time. We flew down there over the Christmas break and they thought they'd hire a house at Mount Maunganui, which is like a Gold Coast of New Zealand.
Mm.
Two units, Cherie and myself and her brother and his girlfriend at the time, or his wife now. We had one unit and Nana and Granddad had the unit next door.
Mm.
I had a few beers and a couple of Woodstocks afterwards. We were sitting on the coffee table and I broke the coffee table. And myself and Mark had a few and we thought, we can fix this. So I went down, we got some wood glue. And I glued the coffee table together and put it all up nice. So when Nana and Granddad come in the next day, they said, oh, yep, the room's all good. We can check out. I didn't know, but the wood glue ran from the top of the coffee table down the leg and glued it to the carpet of the unit. So then they couldn't just cut a little square out. They had to re-carpet the whole unit all on Nana and Granddad's credit card.
They had to re-carpet the whole
They had to re-carpet the whole bit
Peter.
Of the unit. And Cherie's mum's going, I don't know why you've decided to date someone as dumb as your brother.
Derek of Mudjurabar is on the phone. Derek, meeting the in-law story. What about you?
Well, it was when I used to bring girlfriends home. This is when I was very young, to bring girlfriends home to meet the my parents, like her future in-laws, if it ever worked out. But whoever I brought home, Mum wouldn't like her. You know, oh, I don't like the way she wears her hair, or, you know, where did she get that dress? You know, but anyway, Mum never liked the ones, the girls I brought home. So I had a plan. I thought, I'll find a photo of Mum when she was young. I'll go out and try and find a girl that looks like Mum when she was young and see if that works.
Oh, God.
It took me about 18 months, but I found this girl that just looked like Mum, and we hit it off, and I said, I'll come home and meet my mother and father. She said, oh, I'd love to, and it was all going really well. I got home, took her home. Mum loved her. Oh, God, she said, oh, what beautiful manners and the lovely way she dresses. And she said, Derek, that's the one for you. And I said, oh, thanks. I thought, I've finally cracked it, you know. But then there was another problem.
Right.
Dad didn't like it. See you later.
love it.
He's a father of four, a decorated AFL legend, winner of the Western Port High Grade 4 Knitting Prize, and he's not afraid to speak his mind. This is Spider Spray, hitting the important and not so important issues.
Yeah, to all the children out there in grades 3, 5, 7 and 9, that's 3, 5, 7 and 9, I feel your pain and I'm here to stand up and tell you what I think. And I know most of you children out there believe what I think as well. NAPLAN is an absolute waste of time.
Don't brainwash children.
They're with me. The children are with me. 73% of children are saying it is a waste of time. They're writing less. It's all on the computer. And when you've got a computer, you need IT experts on hand. And then they've forgotten their passwords. It's a slower process. And they continue to say NAPLAN is here to stay. Why? It's a waste of time and a waste of money. Even some of the schools are already starting to boycott NAPLAN, and they should be. It hasn't improved the outcomes of our students for the last decade. It's been going since 2008, believe it or not, for 10 years. Let teachers do what they do best, and that's teach. We'll take a couple of holidays every now and then, but...
Oh, you have teachers on your side. Why do you do that?
I'm backing up the teachers because that's what they do best. NAPLAN can't measure optimism, resilience, leadership, respect or work ethic.
Wow.
Children have enough assignments, homework, school assessments to concentrate on. Plus, the main ingredient between a NAPLAN and a school test is the old school tests. Children can get the instant feedback and see where they went wrong and, more importantly, ask the question why they went wrong. That's learning. NAPLAN doesn't teach.
You've been sprayed by Spider.
Well, there you go.
So, Peter, I just have one question.
He does. He always does, doesn't he?
When French was on at your school, where were you?
I was in Indonesia. Mrs. Edwards taught us Indonesia. Selamat pagi, nama saya Peter. Apa kabar, Peter?
Don't worry about where he was for French. Where were you for English?
Yeah, I was no good at English. But I did like Indonesia.
And you failed recess. Of course, on Friday night, we had a fantastic time at the Envy Hotel at their Cocktails and Keys for our Second Chance Dance. Now, Russ had a little success on the night. This is what he told us yesterday on the show.
Had an awesome night dancing and talking and all that. The only thing I didn't do was catch a name and number.
Russell, the two most important things, Russell.
That's all. Yeah, I know, one job and that's the thing I didn't do.
Years ago... when this was the norm to go out and try and, you know, pick up and find the perfect person. And if you didn't have the name and you didn't have the phone number, what would you do? You'd go to that same place the next week in absolute hope that she was going to be there. We can't do that here.
Yes.
There you go. So we think we've got some good news for us.
Well, we were a bit worried. It took a while for this phone call to come through, but we're going to call you Cinderella. Is this Russ's love?
Hello.
Oh, thank goodness.
Unbelievable.
Goodness. Now, tell us, how did you realise that the beautiful Russ put out a call?
This is funny. I normally listen to you guys every single morning, but by chance I was too busy yesterday morning, and apparently you had a phone call yesterday morning.
Yep.
from a fellow that phoned up and said that we were dancing. And aww, yes, we did. We had a lot of dancing together, had an absolute ball at your do. It was fantastic. And yeah, basically she said, then I had a girlfriend phone me and said, this has to be you, blah, 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 and said a few things. And I said, well, yeah, it sounds like it is.
Well, I've got to check for the point of view of Russ. I just want to ask, we're not going to change any names or anything at this stage, but were you wearing like a white attire? We're not familiar.
That's me, white pants and a white top.
Okay. Yep. You have a couple of children, 18.
I've got two girls, yep, two girls. I work part-time, 4 days a week.
Oh, hang on, this is too close.
What day do you have off?
Thursday.
Don't say it. Yeah, yes, exactly right.
We're saying it together.
Oh. Okay, then. Well, then why Cinderella did you do a runner and leave your golden slipper behind? Because
happened? What happened is I had to get home. So in the end, I basically just left, and then I thought, it wasn't the right thing to do, but I had to,
If it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Why do the ghost? Why didn't you say to Russ, I've got to go? I've got to go. You just did the old brush.
Yeah, I know. Naughty, naughty.
Would you, Cinderella, catch up with Russ again? Mm. Would you like a third dance chance or something? Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Yep.
Third chance dance.
Hey, leave it with us. I'm sure we can organise something here.
Oh, wow. This is amazing.
I think it's quite... Oh, it's funny. It's
this is love.
Watch this space. Oh.
This is awesome. Okay, we've got to go next level now with this. Let's organise a date. We've got to get them talking. And this is our first wedding from Gold FM. Second chance dance.
Let's get them on the third date.
Come on.
The world, the absolute world's in anticipation. There's something about a royal wedding that brings people out in spirit, Bridge.
Oh, it certainly does. But when you involve an American divorcee from the States, seriously, the royal family must be shaking the head at the moment. It's all about Meghan Markle's dad. Now he says he does want to walk his daughter down the aisle, but now it's been revealed, this is the breaking news as of this present moment, that he is prepping for surgery. He's going to surgery for a heart operation.
Oh, my God.
His doctors they don't know if he can fly. Apparently his doctors, he consults with, are at a drive-thru at Macca's and KFC.
Well, they're only 3 days away from the wedding.
Exactly. So we're crossing to Koshy from Seven Sunrise in London.
Koshy, I just want to know first, personally, those coats you're wearing, did you take them with you from Adelaide or did you have to get them purchased over there? They're magnificent, those coats.
I took them from Adelaide, sort of all the way, wore it to the showdown on Saturday evening, and then got the 10 o'clock plane out of Adelaide. So it's been a bit of a logistical exercise. What a game.
Yeah. Oh, here we are, loving it. Hey, Koshy, it's great to have you over there. What is the vibe? You know, unfortunately, you know how the media works. You get all the bad publicity throughout the United States, through here and then over there as well. What is the vibe closer to all the action?
Well, you know, there's a lot of excitement in Australia, a lot of excitement in America, because for the Americans, this is this generation's Grace Kelly moment, sort of an American becoming a princess, because the Americans love the royals. If the royals were ever put up for sale, the Americans would buy them. So now they've got someone going in. But the cab driver this year don't reckon it's going to last.
Oh, what?
The car shot of Meghan. And they're a bit peeved because it's on a Saturday rather than during the week when they usually get a public holiday.
That's so Australian. That's so Aussie. That's amazing. Look, this is bigger than Kate and Will, definitely. What's the silliest, minutest detail that you've heard about? I've heard that the milliner said small hats and brims are in.
Yes, that's it.
What's a silly bit of trivia?
Small hats are in, and well, Brett went to the Queen's garden party this afternoon, which was very flash. So he's doing the show in his morning suit and top hat. So it looked very flash, but the whole focus is on the father.
Yeah, that's right.
Really, a wanted calm and. Now he does want to walk it down the aisle, and yesterday he didn't. Look, this is like the Kardashians meeting the Crown on TV. Yeah. You know, it's a great reality program, and has got so many twists and turns. It's quite amusing, but we're speculating on what the Queen would be thinking all about this. She would be horrified, I reckon.
Well, as a father of three daughters, I know that, you know, the old tradition is that the father pays. So if I was the American, Holden be going either.
Yeah. The check would be in the mail if the father was paying, I reckon, that's for sure. But look, the Poms, I've got to say, do this sort of stuff really well, don't they?
Yeah.
They do weddings better than anybody else. It's going to be classy and romantic and sort of an American marrying a prince. So, yeah, it's got all the elements.
Koshy, do I hear that you're interviewing Megan's sister? Is it the stepsister, the one that's causing the big hullabaloo? Are you going to go hard? Are you going to go hard on the half?
Well, like we all do in the media, we go soft early, so we make sure we fill the time, and then go hard later in case she walks off. I want to know.
Yes.
I just want to know questions like, where did she meet her former husband? You know, are there any... What was she like growing up as a younger sister?
Yes.
All that sort of thing, so... And she's not afraid to dish the dirt, the old half sister.
No, she's happy to spread.
She loves it.
Hey, mate. Yeah, exactly. We will let you go because you've got a busy morning coming up. But where will you be watching the game? I mean, more importantly, where will you watch your game?
Because he's got the biggest decision on Saturday to make. Do you take a little flight over to the footy?
I've made a decision.
Where are you going?
Yeah, no, I go to Shanghai.
Oh.
As soon as I finish on air I'm on a plane to Shanghai and I get in 5 hours before the game starts.
So you're walking out on the wedding.
You can watch the wedding on the plane.
Yeah. Exactly. I watch the replay of the wedding.
Thanks, mate. We'll see all the action on Sunrise.
Good idea, guys.
Our good friend Koshy from the show, from Sunrise. Countdown to the Royal Wedding all week, starting with Sunrise from 5:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. Saturday, live on 7.
Congratulations to Cameron Smith. Another milestone in one of the greatest, if not the greatest, career we've seen.
Yeah, I think he's one of the greatest. He's probably the greatest. How's this? Origins 42, 11 series wins, 56 tests for Australia, and he's hanging up the representative jumper, saying that no longer can he continue on. He'll continue with Melbourne Storm, but you know it's the end of an era with Cronk out and JT gone as well. That's over 100 games experience at representative level. But more importantly, I think congratulations to Cam Smith. He's got three children that now he wants to spend a little bit more time with. And there comes a time in every sports person's life where you sit there and go, you know, at some stage I've got to start giving my kids what they deserve. And playing representative football does take up a lot of your time. Any form of professional sport at that level just drags so much of your time out.
Well, you've done it. You've lived it. You played professionally for many years. Is there a definitive moment that you go, that's it, the cook's chooked, the chook's cooked, I'm done?
The body.
Yeah, no, I think, he's not done. He's only retiring from representative. So I think for Cam Smith, I think, you know, when you miss out on all those little things, you know, you can't achieve anything more in the game. His body isn't getting any younger, but it's missing all those little things around the house and at home, watching your kids grow up, you know, seeing them come home from parties all excited. Unfortunately, you're interstate. You don't see that.
Yeah.
You miss out on your children's birthday parties or school plays. You just miss out on so many. And his children are now at the age of 7 and 8 who really want their dad at places around, and you know he doesn't need to play representative footy. He's done absolutely everything he can. So even though he's playing for Melbourne, I think there's a time where he says, you know, I've got to put my family in a way not first, because you can't put your family first when you're playing at that level. Footy's always going to be number one because it's so demanding. But
he's
starting to slowly shift family towards being number one, which is a hard call.
Yeah, good point. A little segment we've put together over the last few months, which is becoming increasingly popular. And today, pretty tough call, pretty gutsy call. This young fella lobbed to the French Foreign Legion door in France, in Paris, at age 20, knocked on the door and they let him in.
Yeah, wow. It was an amazing story. And a local Gold Coaster as well. And a great story for all parents in here as well.
The story of Elliot Chenery.
What makes a 20-year-old kid want to join the French Foreign Legion?
My mate, who was a clearance diver for 20 years, had told me about the French Foreign Legion when I was quite young. And I always thought, oh, it's so far away. I've never been overseas before.
Separated from all family ties.
And then I called my dad and I said, hey, Dad, I'm going to go to the Legion today. If you hear from me in a couple of weeks, I didn't get in. If you don't hear from me for a few months, then I got in. Because once you get there, you cut ties completely.
Really?
Yeah, so I didn't call my dad for 4 months. Then you get into the French Foreign Legion.
Reserved for a select few.
How many people go through and how many people get through?
Well, 10,000 people apply a year, only 1,000 get in.
Elliot Chenery, a person of interest with AJ Bridge and Spider on Gold 92.5.
So basically, I've always wanted to do something really courageous, and I always thought that from school. And I left school when I was quite early, when I was about 16, and I started a PT business with my brother, and I just felt very stagnant where I was in life. And my mate, who was a clearance diver for 20 years, had told me about the French Foreign Legion when I was quite young. And I always thought, oh, it's so far away. I'd never been overseas before. And 2 years went by and it was still in the back of my mind. I thought, you know what, I'm going to go do it. And at the time, I was 110 kilos. I was a powerlifter.
What?
Wow.
And I stopped my training of powerlifting and I just started going to the beach at 4:30 a.m. every day. And I just started swimming and running along the beach and doing a lot of stuff. And I obviously had the equipment because I was a personal trainer. And then I started following a Navy SEAL workout by a guy called Stu Smith, which was a 16-week block. I dropped 25 kilos in 6 months.
Oh,
and
wow.
Off I went to the French Foreign Legion.
How does an Australian get accepted into the French Foreign Legion?
So you just got to go over there. Yeah, I'd never been overseas, so I got my passport. I'd read a lot. You have everything taken off you as soon as you get there. So all I did was I took €300 and that's it, and some clothes on my back. That's all I took. You go there, and how I went there, because I didn't have a phone or anything, all the bus stops have maps on them. I knew where I had to go, I just didn't know how to get there. And so I went from bus stop to bus stop to bus stop till I found the location by using the maps on the bus stop. And you knock on the gate. It's a massive gate. It's called Fort de Nogent. It's just outside of Paris. And you knock on it, and you go, I want to be a legionnaire. And they go, okay, come in. They strip you down naked. You start doing testing straight away. It's 3 weeks of testing, and it just gets more intense, more intense, more intense. It's physical, mental, psychological, medical, everything. And then obviously you go on from there. You go to different stations and that kind of stuff. And then once you pass all that, then you get into the French Foreign Legion.
Elliot, obviously the physical side would be intense, but tell us about the mental, psychological side. How do they test you that way?
It's a lot of games. It's a lot of mind games that they play with you, because it's testing is like 1 minute cold showers while you're getting punched and kicked, and there's no toilet paper. You're standing out in the field for ages. You don't get fed properly. You're basically like a piece of cattle. That's what you are at the start. And you just stand out. And thinking about it now, it actually makes me laugh a bit, because we're all just standing out in the field waiting for our name to be called.
Yeah. How many people go through and how many people get through?
Well, 10,000 people apply a year, only 1,000 get in.
So what are your duties once you are part of the French Foreign Legion? I mean, you pass that stage, which must be just horrific.
Yep.
And they do that to break you down?
Yeah, of course. So the 3 weeks at the start is just to weed out the weakest link. That's what it is. It's to weed them all out. Then once you pass that 3 weeks, you're not even in the Legion in those first 3 weeks.
Right.
Then you go to basic training, which is 4 months. So when I first went over there, I stayed there for 2 days and I had a look around Paris because I'd never been overseas. And then I called my dad and I said, hey, Dad, I'm going to go to the Legion today. If you hear from me in a couple of weeks, I didn't get in. If you don't hear from me for a few months, then I got in. Because once you get there, you cut ties completely.
Really?
Yeah, so I didn't call my dad for 4 months.
Now, how do you get out?
You're thinking of a strategy already.
Yeah, I'm out. So you can get out after a year through a loophole, or you got to stay there for 5 years.
What was the moment of that's enough, say for me?
Yeah, I'd met guys that have been there for 20, 30 years that still have to, because if you're not an officer, if you're not a French officer in the Legion, you can't live off base.
Right.
So guys that have been there for 20, 30 years, they still live on base. They have to, and they've got full families. And I always looked at that and I was like, no way, you know? And realising that Once you've had every single thing taken off you, like your clothes off your back, you've got no food, you've got no water, you don't have anywhere to sleep, that kind of stuff, you really realise what you have when you come back home. Mm. And that was the biggest takeaway that I took, is that gratitude that I can walk down the street whenever I want. I can eat whatever I want. I can get up whenever I want. I've got every opportunity at my hands that I can take, you know? Mm. And that's what really made me realise. And when I was in there, I read a book by Tim Ferriss called The 4-Hour Workweek. And I just thought to myself, why am I in the Legion when I can give so much more value outside of here? So I came home and I started a couple of businesses, and that's what really was the turning point for me to get out of the Legion. I see kids growing up today, even though I'm still a kid, I'm only 28, that they just feel like they're owed everything.
Yeah.
And they need everything taken off them to realise that you don't need anything to be happy. Like, we live in a very materialistic world, yeah, that you don't need that, no. You know? Happiness comes from internal, and once you've had all that and that discipline, then you realise what the world's really like.
Good on you, mate. Would you ever do it again?
I know what I've been through, so probably not.
Yeah. If you had a son that was 16,
ooh, I would send him there.
Really?
Yeah, I would send him there for sure. If not that, maybe the Australian Army. But yeah, definitely I think that everybody should go and experience something like that, even if it's not a long time, even if it's just a month, say, you know, you really learn about yourself when you're on your own and you've got nothing, that you really dig deep and you realise what you're capable of.
Good on you, Elliot. Elliot Chenery, pretty amazing
story.
Wow,
I've got a list of little turds I wouldn't mind sending over there.
Yes, a mile long.
I bet there's some teachers out there too that would like to enter some of their students into the French Foreign Legion.
How many seats on the plane?
Yeah.
I have some big news.
And Mark, on many occasions, looked at me and said, are we wrecking this film?
It was an act of pure evil.
I never thought I'd have to beg you for a cuddle.
What is it about Shanghai and Nick Kyrgios?
Live from Gold 92.5's breakfast table, it's Bridges Feed.
Okay, breaking news coming up very soon about Meghan Markle's dad, but I just want to kick off with the Cannes Film Festival is in top gear at the moment.
Yep.
And there's this one movie that's coming out and people are leaving the cinemas in droves because it is ultra-violent. It's got Matt Dillon in it, Uma Thurman. It's called The House That Jack Built. Have a little listen.
Your house is a fine little house, Jack.
Are you allowed to speak along the way? I was thinking there might be rules.
Anyway, I've seen the trailer. I couldn't even get halfway through the trailer before stopping it. It is that violent and that horrendous. I don't think any movie ever has to go that far. Disgruntled audience members, they took to Twitter to complain and said, I've just walked out because seeing children being killed is not art or entertainment.
No.
Even what I saw in the trailer, and Cam, my producer, saw it, our producer saw it as well, was really, really full on. Hundreds of people.
How do you write a storyline like that?
But think, you know what, it's like, it's just that next level of getting attention.
Yeah.
It happened in the hardcore heavy metal world of, you know, Ozzy Osbourne eating bats and stuff, yep. And where do you go from there? And that's why, you know, how far do you really push it? And that is just pushing it way too far. Anyway, now let's go on to the other drama in the world.
Oh, this is just
Poor Meghan Markle. She just wants to marry a little ginger nut and live happily ever after. But no.
I don't think they'll be happy, but there's a lot of work ahead of her.
There's a lot of work because, gosh, Meghan Markle's family is just being so annoying. So as we know, the dad's got money with the paparazzi photos. Is he coming? Isn't he coming? Is he banned? Isn't he? Now he was saying he wants to walk his daughter down the aisle at the upcoming wedding.
Oh,
if doctors will let him because he has a heart condition, Thomas Markle, the heart condition mustn't be that bad because he's consulting doctors at the drive-through of Macca's and KFC.
Yeah, the 11 herbs and spice is always good for the heart.
Oh, and then Megan's estranged half-sister, Samantha, cannot get off the telly.
No.
Flapping her gums about everything. This is the latest on Thomas Markle.
He sent me a message that he was prepping for surgery about an hour ago. A little more imminent than tomorrow, yeah. I can't speak for him. It depends on the extent and the complication of the surgery. I don't know what that entails yet, so I'm leaving that up to his doctors. But I just, my concern really is more that he pull through safely, and whatever happens after that, we'll just wait and see.
How can you fly to the UK if you've had a heart surgery?
Operation.
There is just no way. Anyway, she's been everywhere on everything and pointing the finger at the media that the media is blowing everything out of proportion. You need to go away, Samantha. You need to absolutely go away, please, off the telly. But, you know, the big news, this is really massive. Are you waiting? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready for this. If this got to the wedding, I'm locked and loaded.
Well, the details behind the Royal Wedding, I know you're standing up. Are you okay?
Mm. Yeah, I'm listening.
We've spoken to the Royal Milner. The Milner means the people who make the hats for the Royal Wedding.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
This is the trend we're going to see at the Royal Wedding.
I think there's going to be lots of small hats, but also I think that there will be a lot of brims.
A lot of brims. A lot of brims and small hats, a lot of fish and small hats. That's what we need to know, a lot of brims and small hats, people. So if you're going to get dressed up for the Royal Wedding, that's what you need to wear.
Have a good Wednesday.
Bye-bye.
AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.